This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means during the first hour we'll be joined by the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from the beautiful city of Munster, Germany, to perform the Subversity Science Roundup, where we apply the Subversity Sniff Test to science and the news. And you know we're going to be talking about that kooky Angelina Jolie right off the bat. Then we'll be joined during the second hour by Dr. Prabhakara Negireddy, to talk about ways of protecting the heart of the diabetic patient. For those of you who train clients, for those of you who have relatives that are suffering from type 2 diabetes, unnecessarily, I say, because it's reversible in 99% of the cases, there are certain things that can be done to help protect their heart, and we'll be talking about that later in the show. But first, we will get started with Adele Musa. How you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine and enjoying the new Skype experience. I hope I'm coming up right.
Yeah, no, you sound good.
You sound good. Appear to be better, but rather worse after the update.
Yeah, we'll see. It's hard to tell sometimes these updates, while they have fixes for one area, they have new inherent challenges in other areas. I like sticking with old things sometimes because then I don't have to learn anything new. But anyway, so the news must be there in Germany as well, about the celebrated and famous Angelina Jolie agreeing to lop off her breast to avoid the possibility of developing breast cancer sometime in the future, because her genetics indicate that she has a predisposition of breast cancer, even though her mother did not die of breast cancer. What are your thoughts right off the bat when you hear this kind of stuff?
Well, at first I was shocked. I don't know why, but maybe because when you think about Angelina Jolie, you think about someone whose breast removed. Then I thought about it, and I did some research into the specific genes she must have, and honestly, I'm not sure what to make of it. It's always easy to talk about stuff like this when you're not in the position of the person. But I think that the general message is, as it is conveyed by the media at the moment, is in a way dangerous, because people will freak out and everybody will try to get this test done. And there are things you get to know about those gene tests to really interpret.
Well,
a matter of...
Adele, you are fading in and out right now, and I don't know if it's the internet connection or the new Skype, but you are fading in and out periodically, so we're losing some of your dialogue here.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a way for you to get closer to your wireless connection or whatever, but I want to jump in here for a second because I want to mention something. The original research that was done on genetic typing of women with breast cancer, the original group of women that were involved in that study, and I want to say this study was about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. And of all of the women, I believe there were 36 women, and I'm going from memory, I could be wrong about this, who were told that they had the quote-unquote genes or gene for breast cancer. And of those 36 women, close to half of them opted for voluntary radical mastectomies. They had both breasts lopped off. I'm sure they had breast implants put in. They didn't walk around with big scars on their chest, which would have been the case decades and decades ago. But they opted to have their breasts removed as a prophylactic attempt to avoid developing breast cancer. The balance of those women who were also told that they had the genes for breast cancer opted for vigilance, to watch the breasts, get regular mammograms, regular checkups at their doctors to make sure that they were not developing breast cancer. And of those 15 women who opted not to get the radical mastectomies, only two of them actually had detectable breast cancer, which was then addressed at that time, and they did not die from the breast cancer. So what we learned from this is two things. Number one, genetic testing is not like mathematics, where 2 and 2 always equals 4. There are women out there, because we know about epigenetic effects. If while you may have the genetic markers for a disease, you may never develop that disease if you do or don't do certain things, or exposed to or not exposed to certain things in your life. And I think it's much more realistic to sit and watch and be vigilant than doing something so radical as having your breasts lopped off at a very young age. And the, an analogy I kept coming up with was, you know, and this is, I know a lot of you are going to say, Carl, that's a stupid analogy, but I have to say it. So let's say you knew that your child had the genetic markers for leukemia, and the doctor said, by the time your child is 18 years old, he has the genetic markers, he's going to develop leukemia. Would you euthanize your child at 6 so he doesn't have to go through the pain of developing leukemia? Of course not. You'd say, well, let's take our chances and see what happens. Medicine has been wrong before. Now, you have any opinions on that statement, Adele? Do you think that I'm being reckless by saying something like that?
Well, I don't think so. Also, because you have to keep in mind that those numbers you hear currently, which are about an 80% chance of having breast cancer, they all have been elucidated in studies where all subjects have families. Because obviously, you would try to find people who have this certain gene, and therefore you would test in a certain group where the likelihood that the in this group belong to the risk group and have carry this gene combination, where the likelihood is high. And consequently, it's in fact and more or less necessary consequence get are not representative of the average woman, but more or less of a higher risk population already.
Right, right. And someone said something humorous on a TV show recently. They said, wow, I feel bad for Lance Armstrong's son. So in other words, should he go and have his testicles cut off? Because now Angelina Jolie has announced in the news as of this morning, in all the news, that she is now going to have her ovaries removed, because that is what her mother died of, ovarian cancer. And so she's going to have her ovaries removed, which I think is really stupid, because, and I'll tell you why. We know that breast cancer is stimulated by what? Estrogen. And so she should have had her ovaries removed and left her breasts intact and watched to see what happened to her breasts. I think it's a stupid idea to have her ovaries removed, because there is a well-documented body of evidence out there that women who have complete hysterectomies, where they are ovariectomized as well, have a high risk of developing other diseases later, early on, such as neurological disorders like Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis, and heart disease is going to be in her future very quickly as a result of this, because we know that the estrogen in women is cardioprotective, and that's why women develop heart disease at the same rate as men once they go through menopause. So these are, and my fear is that because she holds such an audience of people, that they're heralding her as being brave. She's not brave. She is, in my humble opinion, I'm sorry, she has been influenced by bad information, and she is a fearful person, and she is acting inappropriately. The response that she's giving this is way over the top compared to what she should be doing. That's my opinion. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to get back on track. I'm going to try to have Adele reconnect, because we do have something going on with his audio. And I'm sure that the listeners out there are probably frustrated they can't hear everything he's saying. So stay tuned. You're listening to Subversity Science Roundup, brought to you by Subversity.com. SUPPVERSITY.com. Go there or be square. We'll be right back.
I'm feeling yummy head to toe. You see me? Ain't got no patience. Go.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, and Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market. The body's ammunition. And Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And Nutrition. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We'll see if we have a better connection now with Adele, all the way. You know, we take this technology for granted. Adele is sitting somewhere in Munster, Germany, and he's on the air here with fantastic audio. We become accustomed to this. So, Adele, let's see. We're going to stay with breast cancer for a little while longer because we have some topics to cover on that. So why don't you take it from there? I've done my ranting.
Yeah, I've done your ranting. Okay. Well, first of all, I tried to find out what exactly are the for a test like this. you find very different figures. And obviously, you can do a very, very comprehensive test, which costs up to $3,000. And this is actually what most of the experts would advise you to do, because you really have to dig deep to understand where on the scale of increased risk you actually are. And I'm pretty sure that someone like Angelina Jolie will be able to do that, but right. If your insurance doesn't cover it, this alone can make this pretty expensive. On the other hand, the test results will have to be interpreted, and in many cases, the result you get is not. Test will say it's not conclusive, and you may have paid the money for nothing, and you may also be freaking out about possible risk, because there is a you have a gene which has not yet been tested, and where people do not simply do not know whether it increases your risk or it doesn't. So in the end, the genetic testing is still sure and not that reliable as it may seem when you watch the television. If you do not fall in one of those clear-cut categories, the test result does not really tell you anything. And you already mentioned that there are alternatives. And one of the alternatives would be that you can use in advance something like tamoxifen.
Right.
Selective estrogen receptor modulator. And studies have shown that in this particular group of subjects with increased breast cancer risk, the use of tamoxifen can reduce the incidence of by more than 50%.
That's dramatic right there. I mean, especially with people who are playing percentages. Well, I have an 80% chance of developing breast cancer. Well, now it's been reduced to 40% if you do have the breast cancer and use something like tamoxifen. So,
yeah, and of course there are other confounding factors, and it's quite intriguing that none of them has been investigated as of now. We're going to look into confounding factors like, for example, diet or exposure to other things in conjunction with being or with having a certain gene. I've just found there is a database where currently running studies are filed, and in this particular database there is one study which does actually something that would have been or that is absolutely be able to tell something more specific about the risk. And this is a prospective investigation of predictive and modifiable risk factors for breast cancer in unaffected BRCA1 CA2 gene. They are trying to find out what will protect you and what will make things worse for someone who is in this risk group.
I'm listening, Adele. I'm actually dialing your number.
Okay.
I'm dialing your number.
Okay.
You're going to hear your phone ring in a second. Hold on a second. Hold on.
In the meantime, I'm trying to entertain the listeners by adding a couple of other obviously a connection to obesity everybody will be aware of, which increases your risk irrespective of which gene type you belong to. Then contraception can pose a risk as if you're using estrogen and progestins, and it's important to differentiate between progesterone, which is a natural hormone, and progestin, which is quasi analog.
We're going to switch Adele from the telephone. Here we go. Okay, let's just use the phone line now, Adele. Okay, go ahead.
Fine.
Let's see. Yeah, that's much better.
The problems with the contraception, and it appears as if the combinations of estrogen and certain progestins, which are synthetic versions of progesterone, also increase cancer risk. There are studies which suggest there's even a plus 55% increased risk of developing breast cancer for women who have been using those drugs for more than 11 years.
Now let's talk about those drugs for a second. Those drugs quite often are the progesterone-only birth control pills we're talking about, are we not?
I don't know if you can say this across the board, because scientists point out that there are different forms of progestins used in these drugs, and there's also a real version of progesterone. And when you think about this and compare this to male testosterone replacement therapy, this is something like treating or using, instead of testosterone, you would use, for example, nandrolone,
right?
Which also docks to the same receptor, just like progestins dock to the same receptor. But some of them are 10 times, some of them are 100 times more potent,
right,
than the real progesterone. And it's also slowly transpiring that just because a molecule docks to the same receptor, it does not do the exact same thing,
right,
on this particular receptor. And therefore, the effects of those different progestins in the different drugs are very versatile, and you cannot say across the board that all of them will have an increased risk of 55%. But if you think about this, 55% versus 80% increased risk in women with the gene, that's also a highly significant number.
And, you know, and I mention this because there's a lot of women out there who are on progesterone-only birth control pills, and some of these progesterones that they're taking are derived from equine progestins, and then others are synthetic progestins. And it's important that you find out, because your doctor's going to tell you that because it has no estrogen and it's suppressing to some degree estrogen's activity in the body, that you are actually protected against breast cancer. This is not true. This is why the devil is in the details. You have to find out what kind of progestins are being given to you. You can't just trust your doctor's judgment, because the doctors don't even know.
Yeah, that's the case. This is also something many of the experts say, that most doctors prescribe the drug the guy from the pharma company suggested is the latest or all the rage currently.
Right.
And they don't do independent research on their own or read any studies. Of course, this is not true for every doctor, but if you know the workload a general practitioner has, you will understand that he doesn't really have the time to read all the studies. And most of them, I don't know how it is in the U.S., but here in Germany, actually, it has been common practice that on Wednesdays, usually the doctors had a special had time to educate themselves and to learn about new developments. And many doctors just don't do this any longer. And in other cases, they do this on specialized seminars, which are obviously provided or funded by the pharma companies, who will always release new drugs. And as you can see, the increase in risk is only observable after 11 years. And if a new drug is on the market for only 2 years and it has not been tested in those long-time studies before, you really cannot say what in the end will happen when you're taking that for 15 or more years of your life.
Now, the other thing, and I, you may have mentioned this, but we were having a hard time hearing you earlier, and we've got a great connection now. Obesity is a big problem with increased risk of breast cancer. And I think women don't get this, that you can do a lot of things that you believe are protecting you against breast cancer, even to the degree of perhaps having your ovaries removed, for instance. But if you have a large mass of adipose tissue on your body, you still have a high risk of breast cancer. So from your research, Adele, is this a result of inflammation, or the fact that this fat becomes an endocrine system in and of itself by producing certain types of estrogens like estradiol?
It's a combination of both. and also a combination or a downstream effect on the metabolism of estrogen. I think people will have heard of the protective effects cruciferous vegetables have against breast cancer. And this is mostly mediated by their differential effects on the conversion of estrogen or on the downstream conversion of estrogen. And this gets hampered when you get obese or when you are becoming obese or when you are obese. And you also have the general inflammation. And when you think about what actually precipitates the increased risk in the carriers of the BRCA gene, it is that they are missing this particular gene, which is responsible for the repair that is done in the cells usually. And it's quite obvious that when you're chronically inflamed because you're obese, you're exposed to way more metabolic and cell damage than you would be when you're not. And if you are lacking the gene that does the repair, you will also have your risk will increase even further.
Okay, and I'm looking at the numbers here for a second. I'm just curious, is this correct for women? There is a 60% increase in the risk of breast cancer for the women in the highest quartile of free testosterone. So free testosterone can affect breast cancer in these women. It can increase the risk, it looks like, right?
Yeah, it can. And free estrogen as well. And we know that that this increase is typically seen in women who are becoming obese and developing diabetes. And it's also particular characteristic of PCOS.
Right.
And there are more and more women suffering from that, and all of them have a high increased risk in breast cancer. And in many studies, there is good evidence that significant fat loss, and not weight loss, but fat loss, can reduce all the symptoms of PCOS, and in some studies even reverse it completely. So in the end, obesity is not a disease. It's a consequence of leading an unhealthy lifestyle. And this unhealthy lifestyle will obviously precipitate you to develop breast cancer and all sorts of other diseases. Also, obviously, diabetes, about which we are going to hear in the second hour today.
Okay, now the last thing I want to get to is the things that women can do to reduce the risks. And it looks like anything that increases sex hormone binding globulin has a direct risk reduction effect in both men and women, right?
Yeah. That's also important for prostate cancer in men, because when you think about it, SHBG is a way for your body to really control in a very minute ways how much of the hormones will actually work and function, and it usually gets out of hand with inflammation and with obesity, and therefore it's no wonder that weight loss is the number one risk reducer mentioned by all the experts when we are talking about ways to reduce your risk. And exercise, of course. Exercise has a multitude of effects. It can reduce the basic inflammation. It can help you lose weight and have, therefore, beneficial effects. It does, and this is something we have been talking about in a different context before. If you're working out too much as a woman, you're using your period. And you're losing your period, and this is to a certain degree the reduction in hormonal production in consequence to working out is beneficial, as long as it only normalizes your estrogen production and does not shut it off completely. I've also mentioned before the ratio of the good and the bad estrogen. Working out will improve this ratio. So all that points to what we've been talking on almost every show, to eating right and to working out as a means of decreasing your risk.
What about breastfeeding? Are you talking about breastfeeding helping to reduce the risk in women if they breastfed or if they were breastfed as babies?
For breastfeeding, breastfeeding and actively breastfeeding, this is not quite clear, but there's a distinct, there's enough evidence to say that the earlier a woman is having a child, the lower her risk of developing breast cancer will be. Whether this is directly related to breastfeeding has not been fully elucidated, but being breastfed has a has an effect on the risk of developing breast cancer, and especially before menopause. Being breastfed has been associated with a 12% risk reduction in premenopausal breast cancer.
Wow. High polyphenol intake. What are we talking about when we talk about polyphenols?
Well, basically everything that you have in your veggies and fruits, and especially also catechins like in green tea and other foodstuffs like this. And this is particularly interesting because a high intake, we are always comparing the highest to the lowest intake here. So the numbers are, for most people, may not be that pronounced, but they are somewhere in the range of 50% reduction with a high intake of those polyphenols. And what is particularly intriguing is that when you combine this with an alcohol intake of more than 6.5 grams per day, then all this starts to backfire, and you get increases of more than 100% in breast cancer risk.
Now, this is really important because there's a lot of women out there who believe that if they're drinking red wine, the polyphenols and the other things found in red wine are actually protective against breast cancer. But as you can see, this is what I've said all along. Those polyphenols and those active ingredients that are found in red wine in and of themselves in a vacuum may be protective. But the alcohol destroys any chance of them working properly because of the alcohol. People need to understand alcohol is toxic. That's why it gives you a buzz, okay?
Alcohol is, by the way, one of the most significant risk factors for breast cancer, even greater increase in risk than with smoking. And when we are talking about smoking, this should remind everyone of the problems with beta-carotene. And people thinking of beta-carotene as a cancer-protective agent, and all those studies in smokers where they suddenly realized that beta-carotene does actually increase the risk in smokers to develop lung cancer. So in this case, this is very similar for alcohol and the actually beneficial polyphenols. In combination, they can really turn against you. And maybe some people have already seen the primer I just posted on Facebook, on your Facebook page as well, for the show today, that DHA, the omega-3 fatty acid in fish oil, it has also been shown to even help kill existing cancer cells, at least in the petri dish it does that. And there's evidence that it is also protective from epidemiological studies. But in those petri dishes, they made an interesting observation because when they incubated the cancer cells with DHA and in conjunction with vitamin E, alpha-tocopherol, the beneficial effects were negated. In other words, the DHA will initiate a self-destruction process that is dependent on reactive oxygen specimen. And the addition of vitamin E, alpha-tocopherol, will block the oxidation and thus negate the beneficial effects or the cancer-destructive effects of DHA.
So it's important that people... Wait. I want to make sure that people understand this and it hits home. In this instance, reactive oxygen species, which is an oxidative stressor, is actually beneficial to destroying the cancer. This is contrary to those of us who take mounds and mounds of antioxidants. In this case, the antioxidants are not beneficial because the oxidative stress is what's helping to kill the cancer. Right, Adele?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And I suspect that for the polyphenols we've been talking about before, it could be similar. That they are, in a way, then the alcohol induces the cancerous growth, and the polyphenols protect the cancer cells from the natural defense mechanisms of your own body.
Wow, amazing. Okay, we have to move to something else now. Protective foods, dried fish consumption, apparently. And I would have to... Why dried fish? Why not, freshly prepared fish?
I guess for freshly preserved fish, this would be the same, but I found this particularly interesting because that's dried fish in women in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they are obviously the children to a high, or either some of them may belong to the generation still, this was in the late 90s, which was actually exposed to the radiation, or they are children to women who may have been exposed to radiation. And in them, dried fish was actually the only nutritious agent that was that showed really significant protective effects. On the other hand, from some Japanese studies, we know that iodine also appears to reduce the risk. Although the exact dosages and the dose-response relationship has not yet been elucidated fully.
Okay, and then the other thing is broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables, because of the indole-3 carbinol, which has an effect on estrogen metabolism, correct?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned before. It does increase the pathway of where estrogen is excreted in a beneficial way, so to say, instead of turning it into another form of estrogen, which rather increases your chance of developing breast cancer. Similar effects have also been observed for walnuts, for example. And something that cannot be mentioned often enough is an intake of foods that are high in methyl donors, like methionine, choline, folate, and vitamin B12. And this may not even be so important for you yourself, but it has been shown that mothers who consume enough of those methyl donors during pregnancy, or the children of those mothers, will have a decreased risk of all sorts of cancers. So this is not just important for the female, but also for the male offspring.
Now, it would be unfair of us not to cover one other segment here that Adele has put together, and that is, what is not working to protect women against breast cancer that is thought to have a protective effect?
Yeah, well, the soy is the flavorant. They don't really work. It's intriguing that we do have encouraging results from epidemiological studies, but whenever they really test it in controlled trials, there is no effect, and in some cases it even appears as if the intake of soy is the flavorant could actually increase the risk. For example, there is a study where they fed women who already had breast cancer with high amounts of soy isoflavones, and later realized that the active treatment group had a higher chance of developing cancer in the other breast that had not been removed before. And there is an interesting study that has been published lately only, which shows that that those isoflavones, and especially genistein, can actually counter the beneficial effects of tamoxifen. I've mentioned that before. I hope people heard that, that tamoxifen, which is a selective estrogen receptor modulator, can reduce the risk of developing cancer also specifically in patients in this high-risk group with the specific gene by 50%. So you would get down from your 80% to a 40% risk. But if you consume at the same time genistein, you would counter those effects of tamoxifen, probably because in the end, the benefits of genistein are mediated by it being an estrogen of its own. And it does something comparable to tamoxifen, docked to the estrogen receptor, where it does, however, have a higher activity than tamoxifen.
What else do we have to address as far as what has not been working? What about the Mediterranean diet?
Yeah, this is something people will now probably be surprised of, because everybody says the Mediterranean diet will keep you healthy, and it may also really keep you healthy, but there is no significant effect, or there has not been seen a significant effect, at least not in in one of the latest studies coming from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, where they investigated the dietary patterns of 50,000 women aged in 30 to 49 years, and they did not find any correlations between a high adherence to Mediterranean dietary pattern and the breast cancer risk. So it's not detrimental, but it does not really protect you against breast cancer, obviously.
There you go. You know why? And we talked about it before. There's more going on with Mediterranean people than just what they eat. It's their lifestyle. It's how they walked every place. I mean, there's so much more. And just trying to find something in the diet. This is so classic. We want to find the one thing, the one thing. It's not one thing. It's a lot of things. Get used to it. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be delivering more great information. This is the Subversity Science Roundup on Supreme Radio. Visit the website, Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com today to learn more on your own from the brilliant and now completely audible and understandable Adele Musa. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city.
All right. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, Eco. Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio. Yeah.
Just a reminder, Age Force is giving away a free 30-day supply of their fat burner patch. There is no risk involved. Try it for 30 days. Decide if you want to keep using it. Use the coupon code BURNBODYFAT, all one word. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad. A lot of people are saying, yeah, but you got to sign up for the auto ship. You sign up for the auto ship, you don't pay anything for 30 days. 2 weeks will be more than enough time to determine if the patch is working. And all you have to do is send them an email to cancel. You don't have to go to a special page on the website and use a form. They respond within 24 hours and say your order has been canceled and you will not be billed. We've had zero complaints from anybody using this approach. So if you really want to try this patch and see if it works for you, this is the time to do it. Okay, welcome back to Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. Hi, Adele. Now we're going to talk about something different, range of motion, which is assumed, I think, that people think they're using full range of motion. Let's talk about the studies that you talked about on Subversity first.
Well, that was actually a human study, which was quite impressive. Where they, the first one was a study where they compared regular squats, which are not, as people call it, as to the ground, but rather to the, I think it was 115 degree angle. So you would go past parallel, but not really to the ground. This is the full range of motion in scientific terms. And they really found out that if you want complete muscular development, not of the gluteus, as some people say, that you would only have to squat deep in order to develop other muscles, but also full development of the quadriceps muscle, you really have to go deep. And in a corresponding study from a different research group, where they used an exercise with leg extensions, which is easier to control, they saw that the growth response of the vastus lateralis muscle in this particular study, comparing the partial range to the full range, was actually twice as pronounced and in the central or in the medial part of the vastus, even more than twice as pronounced in the group that compared that trained over the full range of motion. And it wasn't only more pronounced, but it was also in the subsequent detraining phase, the participants in the full range of motion group, they were able to maintain much more of their gains than the control group. And this is particularly interesting and also related to other studies which have been published as of late, because the scientists observed as one of the main differences, aside from the muscle gains, a much more pronounced increase in IGF-1 in the group that trained across the full range of motion. And people who may have read the Intermittent Thoughts on Building Muscle I wrote back in the day may remember that my point of view, or the point of view I try to convey there, is that IGF-1, although it is often said that it's not that important in muscle building, as, for example, mTOR, is actually responsible for the structural changes. While mTOR will increase the influx of protein in the muscle like you blow up a balloon, IGF-1 is necessary to, first of all, repair the muscle, and second of all, to restructure it. And this restructuring process is obviously necessary for gains that last and that don't disappear once the protein is leaving the muscle,
right,
which always happens when you detrain. And detraining in this case was just doing nothing but idling around.
Right, right. So when we talk about full range of motion, how does someone assess what full range of motion really is for other muscles? We understand that it's going slightly below parallel into what would can be considered a squatting position, but not necessarily where your butt is touching your ankles or the ground. What about other body parts? The chest, for instance, you can be compromised if you go too deep with the chest because you can actually injure shoulders and so on.
Yeah, you can hit your shoulders, and you really start to load some of the weight onto your joints and on the tendons. And interestingly, the tendons specifically, they do much of the work for you if you're overdoing the full range of motion.
Ah.
So you just keep the muscle stiff and the tendon bounces the weight back up. You don't even have to really touch your chest to have this effect. And there are animals like kangaroos who really made this or really use this and need this for their daily locomotion. Kangaroos can only jump so far because they use this technique. Obviously, they are genetically predisposed to do this in the perfect way. But in the end, it's the tendon that helps them to jump so far. And in this context, there has been a very interesting rodent study, unfortunately a rodent study, but it is still has relevance for human beings, or it can be interpreted in terms of what you should or shouldn't do in the gym. And in this study, the scientists wanted to find out how important the stretch is. And when we are talking about full range of motion, people are always thinking about the stretch at the bottom position, which is often no longer really a muscle-only stretch, but rather a stretch that also stretches the tendons. And in this study, they tried to circumvent this tendon stretch by finding a point where the muscle could still exert a maximal force. And I don't know if people have tried to do preacher curls on one of those preacher benches.
Right.
When you're going too far down, you may feel a stretch, but actually you start to feel it not really in the biceps muscle, but rather partly in the tendon.
Yes.
And you feel
closest to the fold where the elbow is. That's where you feel it.
Yeah, and you will feel that you cannot even flex your biceps any longer in this position. And this is not the stretch you are aiming for when you're going over the full range of motion. You want to stand. You want to stop in a position that is so where you can still fully flex your biceps. And this is actually what they did with the rodents. They determined this point where they could still elucidate a peak contraction by applying electric stimulus to the muscle, and stretched and applied the stimulus. And it's quite intriguing to see that only in this active stretch that is pulling and at the same time applying the stimulus, which is identical to you exerting or trying to flex your biceps, because this will also send an electric signal to the muscle and make it contract. Only in this position the scientists were able to elucidate by just the stretch and the electrical application all those enzymes that are responsible for protein synthesis. Like P70, the whole protein
cascade, the protein cascade that
exactly,
is
yeah.
Okay. Adele, I want to talk briefly also about the linkage between damaging the muscle and glycogen resynthesis, because this is another part of this discussion when we talk about stretching the muscle. We know that it's the eccentric portion of the movement that claims to create the greatest damage structurally to the muscle. How does that affect glycogen resynthesis?
Well, in the end, the first thing that happens is obviously that it damages the muscle and the mitochondria. And the downstream effect of this is a large decrease, actually, in glycogen resynthesis after the workout. And also, and this is quite interesting, and it could even be important, that it lowers the basal glucose uptake, which does not require insulin, by 40%. And we've been talking about that before, that our, I think it was in the context you've been talking about that in another show. I'm not quite sure, but it was mentioned on Superhuman Radio that after the workout you have a window. This window of opportunity, it has a special, the real special thing about this is that once the muscle has been glycogen depleted during a workout, it can take up a large amount of glucose without even insulin being present or necessary
right.
to do this.
Right.
Because the glucose transporters are already on the surface and doing their job. And exactly that will not really happen when you train to a point where the damage is or where you have elicited too much damage.
Ah.
So you could actually say that when your main goal is to lean out, it may not be even that smart to go totally all out and to risk those mini injuries in the muscle, which could in the end compromise your insulin sensitivity after a workout. And obviously you will also have to recover longer, and whenever you're trying to lean out mainly, or at least this is what I have experienced in the past, it's good to increase the workout frequency but to decrease the durations of the workout.
Right. Right. And you know what? And this has been the mantra of some of the greatest physique athletes in the world. You know, stimulate, don't annihilate. Some people spend hours and hours and hours in the gym, and the collateral damage that you're doing to your body cannot be repaired with the normal downtime. We have to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going just a little bit long today. My second guest knows it already. I want to talk about how all of this relates to machines like the Nautilus versus compound free weight movements. Okay, Adele?
Okay, fine.
All right, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant and talented Adele Musso, all the way from Munster, Germany. You can actually enjoy his wisdom, his insights, and his writings by going to subversity.com, S-U-P-P-V-E-R-S-I-T-Y.com. I got to tell you something. Subversity trumps any of the bodybuilding fitness magazines that you'll ever buy. And guess what? It's free. And every single day, there are great articles that will impact your health, your fitness level, your sex life, your mental acuity, everything. Go to subversity.com, S-U-P-P-V-E-R-S-I-T-Y.com. Don't say I didn't tell you. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever
ever done for your business.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. The discussion, the debate, the arguments that have all been centered around machines versus free weights. How does that work into this discussion about range of motion? Do machines restrict range of motion, or do they actually force the user to use a full range of motion? What do you think, Adele?
I think it depends on the makeup of the machines, but particularly for the Nautilus machine, there has recently been published a very interesting paper which compared regular machines to Nautilus machines, and the only significant difference they were able to find was an increase in strength endurance when they used the Nautilus machines. This was not part of the study, but this really is connected to what we've been talking about before the break. Is the way the resistance changes when you're using those Nautilus machines or the CAM system in the Nautilus machine, because it is actually it's getting the things the other way around, because we have been talking about being at an almost stretch or at the stretched position where you can really still flex your biceps, and if you think about how those Nautilus machines work and if you have ever used them, you will realize that in this butter position, you have the lowest resistance. And this is meant for you to be able to overcome this point we've been talking about before, where you really cannot get the weight up at the lowest point. And when you're contracting the muscle, the resistance will increase. And at least in terms of what we've been saying before, this does not really seem to be optimal. On the other hand, when you're lifting with free weights, you have always the disadvantage that there are certain positions where you're just losing all the load on the muscle.
But that's a result of gravity push. If the arc of the movement is not in synchronization with the gravitational force, like in the curl, quite often if you do a traditional curl with free weights, as you get to the top, I'd say 30 to 40 degrees of the movement, because the arc is going now horizontally, but force is pushing north and south, you lose the resistance on the movement.
That's exactly right. And in essence, this goes to tell you that there is a perfect synergism between the two, because where the one has its weakness, the other has its strength. And the biceps curl is a particularly good example, because as I said before, especially those Nautilus machines have the highest resistance in this upper position, where your muscle is also in a position where it can really pull the weight. This was the original idea. So combining both words is probably best, and actually if you look at the training regimen of most of the professional bodybuilders, they will usually start out with the compound movements. And if you ask them, or if you ask me also, if you had to leave something out, what would it be? The compound free weight movements or the machines? Then everybody will certainly answer the machines, especially for the larger body part. And I think this is also a wise answer. On the other hand, there is certainly a place or room for an additional exercise using machines you feel really work for you. And I know that from personal experience that this really depends not just on the machine, on the type of the machine like the leg press or the leg extension machine, but also on the specific build. For example, I've been using a leg extension machine for years and have really had great results. And as of late, my gym changed the brand of resistance equipment they used, and the new one looks more or less the same, but there is no position for me on this particular piece of equipment that elicits anywhere similar to a stimulation of the quadriceps muscle as the previous one did. And so this is really why it's important that you develop a feeling of how your muscles contract. And my experience tells me that most people have this only in their biceps, maybe in their triceps, but especially in the back, most people lack it. And therefore, it's also lagging, because when you don't feel it's working, the exercise is working, in many cases it is not working at all. And furthermore, you can never pick the best exercises if you don't feel how the muscle contracts. And you could, of course, also, you wouldn't be able to find this this particular point we've been talking about before, where you can still apply the maximum force and really contract the muscle, but have at the same moment a loaded stretch that would elucidate greater muscle gain.
Yeah, now this makes a lot of sense. You know, it's one of the reasons why I like pulleys too, by the way. Like in the curl movement. You wanna train your biceps. I learned this from PJ Braun. You wanna train your biceps, find the pulley machine, set it at the bottom position, and because it gives you some ability for natural kinesiology of the movement, but it ignores gravity and it applies force to the entire arc of the movement. You know, in that case there, I would say there's a machine movement that really has all of the benefits of free weights if you're doing curls with a traditional straight bar, but ignores the deficit of that free weight movement because gravity is not playing a role in it. So
yeah, but on the other hand, you will have to position yourself a little bit backwards.
Yes.
Or in sort of a distance, because otherwise you will have the exact same effect. And maybe it always looks ridiculous when I'm doing this, but works quite fine. You can also do it by turning your back to the pulley.
Yes, and having the cable come between your legs. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just have to be a bit careful not to hurt your precious parts. But otherwise, this really works. This really works, and you also have a maximal contraction. Even at the bottom and at the top of the movement.
Yes.
Really works nicely.
Excellent point. Okay, so in summary, both free weights and machines have their place, but you have to understand what you're trying to achieve in the resistance in all areas and ranges of the muscle. Is that the bottom line?
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
And it's of paramount importance really to develop this feeling for your training, because people always ask me what are the best exercises, and I do in fact have these so-called subversity EMG series as one of my most popular posts of all time, but it can as well be that for all the 20 subjects in the particular study, exercise A was optimal, but it's the worst exercise for you. Maybe because of your build, maybe because you're not doing it right. And
right.
When I'm running around in the gym, I see that especially those people who are so focused on their image in the mirror, they really don't focus on their body and on their muscle. And I've experienced that myself when I'm trying to gauge my form only by looking in the mirror. I'm usually failing to activate the muscle fully because I'm not focusing on the muscle, but I'm focusing on what I see in the mirror, not because I'm narcissistic, but because this does not really tell you as much as the feeling in the muscle can tell you.
Right. Okay, we are coming to the end of Subversity Science Roundup today. Adele, thank you very much for all of the hard work you put into this. There are going to be some great Subversity seconds, just to give some teasers about probiotics, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's a recent study with a completely new type of bacteria, which is supposed to be the go-to bacterium to reverse obesity, and I have some particular thoughts are, I want to use this particular study as an example to discuss some more general things about why probiotics are probably not the savior of the human race.
Right. And then are you going to also post anything about growth hormone and insulin resistance? Because I do want to read that one, by the way.
I will. Okay, I will.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the air today, Adele.
It was a pleasure.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So here we go. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the way to protect the heart in diabetic patients. It's a very, very important discussion. Because we know that probably 50% of the population is diabetic today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural, and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition. AmNutrition, join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
AmNutrition.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest Protein Bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Okay. With an ever-growing population of individuals who are suffering from the condition, not the disease, because it's not a disease, it's a condition, it's reversible in many cases, of type 2 diabetes, the next discussion is really relevant. We're talking with Dr. Prabhakara Nagireddy. This research was done at Columbia University of New York. How are you doing, Dr. Nagireddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good, very good. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name.
No, you did well.
Okay, so first of all, for those out there who are not aware of some of the secondary effects of insulin resistance, what exactly are some of the results that we see in the insulin-resistant patient as far as how heart function and heart disease occurs?
Well, I think it's pretty much well known now that diabetes is actually a cardiovascular disease because majority of the diabetic patients, I mean, majority of the patients who die from cardiovascular disease are diabetic patients.
Right.
So, in a way, diabetes has become a cardiovascular disease. And as you know, diabetes is not just an increase in blood glucose levels. It's a complex disease. So there are two different types of diabetes, the type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes, although there are other forms of diabetes. So in type 1 diabetes, we see defective insulin secretion that causes, you know, high blood glucose. In type 2 diabetes, we have defective insulin signaling that causes insulin resistance. And majority of the diabetic patients are type 2 diabetes.
Right.
So the problem with these diabetic patients is that they have a major cardiovascular dysfunction, so that predisposes them to die from cardiac disease.
When we talk about cardiac remodeling and what's the word I'm looking for? The changes in the structure of the heart as a result of these two conditions, they mm-hmm. are pretty exclusively a result of the hyperglycemia that these individuals suffer from, correct?
Partly right, because it depends on what kind of a diabetes you have. So glucose is, of course, very bad for your heart, and so is insulin resistance, and so are the lipids that are elevated in type 2 diabetic patients. So overall, the condition of diabetes with all these components are bad for your heart, including the very basic structure of the heart.
Okay. When we are looking at the changes in the heart as a result of this disease,
mm-hmm.
are we looking at things that the endpoints end up being heart failure? Are we looking at endpoints that are more to do with plaque buildup that ends up choking off the heart? How does diabetes actually, what are the endpoints of these changes?
Well, the general consensus is that diabetes affects all different parts of the heart. So when we look at the heart as a whole, we look at the cardiac component. This is basically the problem within the cardiac musculature. And the second part is the blood vessels that supply blood to the heart and the other organs of the body. So our research was mostly focused on the vasculature part, like the one you said, plaque buildup. So the plaque buildup in your arteries, for example, coronary artery, will cause the MI, a stroke. So this is because of the loss of blood supply or the cutoff of the blood supply. So our research was mostly focused on understanding why diabetic patients have this plaque buildup, and what are the ways we can improve to reduce this plaque buildup or to improve the regression part. That means patients who have got this plaque buildup, they are referred statins. They will be taking statins to control the lipids. But in spite of that, still these patients have increased mortality.
Right.
So that's the reason why we were looking at how we could make their plaques go away.
Right. Okay, so talk about the research. How was the study designed that your group endeavored?
Okay, so we basically do the basic research. to understand the pathological signaling mechanisms by using mouse models. So we create diabetes in mouse models by injecting STZ, which is a streptozotocin, an antibiotic that selectively destroys beta cells in your pancreas,
right,
causing defective insulin secretion, and that raises the blood glucose. So using those kind of models, we can then manipulate changes in either glucose or lipids or any other thing that you want, and then study how it affects the heart disease.
Okay. And so when you performed this study, what mm-hmm. exactly was elucidated?
Okay. So, as I said, our focus was to understand why diabetic subjects have defective lesion regression. When you say lesion regression, it is basically you have a lesion, you have a plaque, and you take statins to reduce the buildup, and the statins would reduce the buildup. At the same time, patients who have diabetes with that will have a defective lesion regression. So in order to understand the effect of different components of diabetes, like glucose versus lipids versus insulin, on this buildup or the resolution of the buildup, so we create two things here in a mouse model or animal model. That is, first you need to create atherosclerosis. That is basically you are building up the plaque in their blood vessels, and then you induce diabetes on top of that. Mm-hmm. So in the presence of a drug that reduces glucose, you can see how much the effect of glucose is on the plaque resolution.
Right. And now, it's well understood that individuals who suffer from diabetes, type 2 diabetes, they have a phenomenon called advanced glycation end products.
Correct.
And, mm-hmm. and these advanced glycation end products affect system-wide, the entire body. They can be observed on the surface of the skin in the way of liver spots and age marks, some people say, or they can actually appear as lesions on organs themselves. Okay, I'm sorry, you're going to correct me.
No, you're fine. You told exactly what I was supposed to tell. So advanced glycation end products are formed by the reaction of glucose with the proteins.
Right.
And these products, these proteins, basically glycoproteins, they end up causing a lot of bad things in the system. So we also call them as age products. So there is a receptor for this age, which is advanced glycation end product, that actually induces all the signaling events for age. So one of the
you mean there's a receptor that actually stimulates the production of AGEs?
No, there's a receptor that actually kind of induces the signaling events because age binds with rage,
right?
And then the signaling events will lead to more inflammation of your blood vessel.
Okay.
And all those things.
Okay. All right, so go ahead. So when you look at this, is this part of the etiology of this plaque buildup or the lack of being able to reduce the plaque?
So what we started focusing was, so when you look at the plaque, a plaque is basically a kind of an injury to the blood vessel, and it is composed of different types of...
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you a mm-hmm. question. Is the analogy I've used on this show for many years is that the plaque is not the injury. Plaque is the body trying to repair the injury. And the analogy I've always given is if I come in your home and I punch a hole in your wall, mm-hmm. and then you go and get a bag of spackle or plaster and you plaster the hole, what was the insult? The insult was me punching the hole in the wall, not you repairing it. So
that is right.
Isn't inflammation really the plaque builds up as a result of some sort of hyperinflammatory response on the endothelium?
It is because the buildup of plaque is mediated by immune cells getting into the plaque, so that is a response to the injury.
Uh-huh.
So your question is how does an injury takes place? So as you see here, the injuries can happen. I mean, not necessarily by punching a hole in the blood vessel, but it could be simply a high buildup of lipids in the blood vessel, and also high blood pressure, for example, put so much stress on some of the curvatures of the blood vessels, and the wall becomes kind of inflamed as the blood pushes against the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always aided by the high bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol within your blood. So when body tries to repair this through an immunological response, it has to bring in more cells there to repair the wound. And so our idea was that, so in order for the plaque to resolve, either you need to remove the lipid from the plaque or you need to remove the macrophages from the plaque. So, or the other option would be just to prevent the cells that become macrophages getting into the plaque. So macrophages are basically the matured cells of monocytes. So monocytes are the precursors which are produced within the bone marrow and in the spleen, and they become macrophages when they get into the plaque.
And this is part of the biological sanitation department of the body, right? Macrophages are responsible
right.
for eating things, debris, if you will, metabolic debris, and getting rid of it.
It is. That is right. So it's basically a kind of a scavenging process. It's a resolution process. But if you don't remove the components of the insult, the injury, for example, lipids or glucose or other things, or blood pressure, for example, then your resolution will not take place as it's supposed to be. So it becomes an exaggerated inflammatory response, mm-hmm. and the injury becomes worse.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break, I'm being told, okay?
Sure.
When we come back, I want to pick up this discussion and go even further, and then we'll start talking about things that appear to mitigate or neutralize the risks associated with diabetes and its relationship to heart health. We're talking with Dr. Prabhakara Nagireddy. This study was done at Columbia University, and we'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blood
blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Prabhakara Nagireddy. We're talking about protecting the hearts of diabetic patients. What can be done? Okay, so out of the information that you were able to derive from this research, did you come to a conclusion that there were certain things that could be done to help mitigate the damage?
Well, I guess our research actually uses some new compounds to reduce your blood glucose, which I hope will eventually make it to the market. So rather than using insulin, we use a new category of glucose-lowering agents called SGLT inhibitors, which means sodium glucose cotransporter inhibitors.
Okay.
So these drugs work by increasing the elimination of glucose in urine. So you basically pee out this glucose instead of preventing its reabsorption, which insulin does. So one of the advantages with this drug is basically you are going to remove the unwanted glucose.
Okay, yeah, and these are, there are actually supplements out there. These are considered glucose disposal agents, right?
That is right. So right now, there are not many of those molecules right now, I mean, in the U.S. market.
Right.
I heard that a few weeks ago, one of the drugs was actually approved by FDA for reducing blood glucose. So this is some of the things that we really hope to see them in the market for a reason that these drugs work in a different way and they don't cause a severe hypoglycemia, which actually is a major drawback with insulin.
Right.
Because if by any chance or by mistake, if you take too much insulin, you could even die from hypoglycemia.
Yeah, diabetic coma. Right, exactly.
Diabetic coma. Right. But these drugs don't do that. So in a way, they hopefully if they come out to the market with without any major side effect or adverse effect, they will work well.
Okay, but so obviously pharmacological intervention can be used as a rescue method. But but what about just getting the patient to, you know, we've discussed on this show as early as about a year and a half ago, the notion that diabetes could be re-termed, that the individuals who are suffering from type 2 diabetes have become carbohydrate intolerant. Okay. And so, not forever, but just for this period of time where they are insulin resistant, what about just getting these individuals to reduce their consumption of foods that have a rapid entry, a conversion and entry into the bloodstream as glucose?
Yeah, well, you see, these are the diseases that can be controlled. I mean, type 1 diabetic disease, of course, is still not in our control very well unless, you know, some major inventions and discoveries happen. But with respect to type 2 diabetes, it's largely controllable because a major component of type 2 diabetes is obesity and lack of exercise. So it's, to a large extent, it is controllable. And so it's important that we always keep an eye on what we eat and how we burn out those calories. And, you know, taking drugs will help but will not cure the disease. So, you know, my advice is that, you know, keep your eye on what you eat. And, you know, it's okay if you eat more calories, but make sure that you also burn those calories because you don't need excess fat in your body. The more the fat you have in your body, the more inflammation it is associated with, and then
you know how science is, right? Right now, there's science emerging as you and I having this discussion, and we're prepared to do an interview. I'm not sure if it's later this. No, it's not this week, but it's next week, where there has now been a reevaluation of saturated fat and its relationship to the dangers of saturated fat. And this is coming from a very well-respected institution. And, you know, so, you know, this notion that fat is the culprit because of its potential to increase inflammation, we know, just because of this discussion we've had, that that glucose is related to hyperglycemia is related to some sort of inflammatory response in the body. So it could also be said that foods that convert to glucose rapidly are pro-inflammatory. I'm just confused why we are so afraid as, you know, as scientists, medical orthodoxy, why we're so afraid to say to people, look, no bread, no pasta, no white potatoes, no white rice, no, none of these foods until your diabetes has been resolved. Instead, we tell them, you know, cut back on the fat, eat healthy grains. These healthy grains that they're eating are at the root of this diabetic epidemic. Not the only cause. Don't misunderstand. But it's almost like people are afraid to say it. And I don't know if it's because these industries are so large and so looming.
Well, I agree. You know, I agree that there are a lot of other players in the society that really shape up our health. So unfortunately, there's nothing much we can do. As we basic scientists, what we try to, or what is expected from us is to invent or create magic bullets, which is impossible because this is not like a drug to fight infections in the body. It is a drug to find our lifestyles, our way of living. So, you know, I mean, there's no hope. If you don't treat your condition yourself, you know, no one can make you change that. It is us who have to decide which way we want to go in our life. So, as I said, you know, in the past, people used to eat a lot of bad foods too. Of course, there weren't many processed foods during those days, but they used to eat all bad foods. But still, small population had all this
heart disease,
obesity, and diabetic stuff.
Well, just look at heart disease for a second. Paul Dudley White, he was one of the founders of the American Heart Association. He was also, I think, Franklin Roosevelt's personal physician. And in the 1930s, he had written a position paper saying that in all his years in college, in school, internship, and private practice, he had only encountered one myocardial infarction. But by the time the 30s came around, the rate of heart attack had gone up 300 or 600%. I forget what it was. And at that time, he said that it is clearly a result of hydrogenated oils and the propensity to that we've increased the sugar consumption in the population.
And
no one paid attention. All these years later, we're still having a love affair with margarines and stuff like that. It's like, really? He said in that paper, return to natural animal fats, tallows, and lard. Abandon Crisco. But back then, Crisco was the first hydrogenated oil. Procter & Gamble said, we don't want that message out there. So,
This is the irony. I mean, we know how we can control our situation, but we are not doing that. And as you said, there are a lot of other players, industry, food processing industry. They all, you know, like, for example, the sodas, you know, such a big lobby there. You know, we know how we can control. Of course, there are some conditions which we cannot control. For example, type 1 diabetes, we cannot prevent it.
Right.
But there are different ways of controlling it. So my personal opinion is that, you know, it really doesn't matter what you eat. It's just how you burn out those calories. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there is a genetics component to that, which we cannot change it, but you can change whatever you can. So that is your lifestyle that we can change always. So you're right. You know, in the past, there were very few diseases related to your heart.
And they were eating all the foods that we know are bad now. Right? They were eating eggs. They were cooking with lard. They were eating bacon. They were eating all these foods, red meat.
That is right.
And they were healthier than us. You know,
exactly.
This is when I tell my audience, when science opposes critical thinking, abandon science and go with critical thinking.
That is right.
So, you know what? What do you hope that people take away from your research? We have clinicians and lay people that listen to the show. What do you hope that they take away from your research?
Well, we as a basic scientist will always try to do our best to get the best of the research translated into medicine. But do not expect that we create magic bullets for every situation, every disease condition that we have today. For those people who are unfortunate to have situations like type 1 diabetes, you know, you better control your blood glucose because that's the one thing that you could do well. And for those people who are into type 2 diabetes, you can control a lot of bad things happening in your body by just simply changing your lifestyle, work out a few hours extra in a day, control your food, keep an eye on what you eat, how you burn that. You know, that's the best thing we could do. And hopefully, with our research translating into some kind of a therapeutic, we can always come out and help those patients who cannot do that, or maybe in patients which can be done. That's my advice.
No. Listen, I before we end the interview, I want to tell you, I interviewed Dr. Milind Watvi yesterday. Do you know who he is?
Not really.
He wrote an amazing book called Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, a Darwinian interpretation of type 2 diabetes and related disorders. We did the interview yesterday. It's one of the most out-of-the-box, profound interviews that I've done in recent times as it relates to type 2 diabetes, looking at it from an evolutionary and ecological standpoint. We had him on the show from Pashan, Pune, India. And I know that I'm not a scholar, I'm not a scientist, but I have to tell you that you should pick up this book, because some of the concepts that he talks about evolutionary selection pressures and some of the things in our society today that are contributing to diabetes are undeniable, and it's not about diet. It's really interesting. So,
well, I agree with that. Yeah, I know that what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. You know, I hate to use the terminology perfect storm, you know, because it's overused. But when we look at diabetes and obesity, we have a perfect storm. There is not one thing, there's not even 10 things that would, if they were corrected, that would change this problem overnight. It is a lifestyle that we as a people have become so complacently ingrained in and love that we're not willing to change to stay alive.
You look at the situation. I mean, I come from India, so I'm just going to give one example how things have changed. So back home in the 70s and 60s, or maybe even 80s, there was a lot of poverty back in there. People used to work in the fields. There weren't many of those so-called IT jobs back then. And people used to work. They used to eat the same food. And today what has happened is that many people who have abandoned those farming jobs and, you know, high labor intensive jobs in industries, they are now sitting in front of their computers and doing all these IT jobs. And today, as a result, India has become a diabetic capital of the world. So what changed? Food does not change. They eat the same curries and same rice and everything same. But the genetics is the same. So what has changed? It's just the lifestyle.
Yes.
And because of that, you see today so many diabetic patients back there. So this is just an example of how things can change so quickly. And the same thing is happening in China, where usually the Asian population are kind of protected from developing all these cardiovascular diseases. And today, because of the one-child policy in China, you see a lot of obese kids just when they are not supposed to be obese.
Well, you know what, Dr. Negaretti? I say on this show in jest, but many truths are spoken in jest. I say in 50 years, the landscaping job is going to be the job that everybody wants, not the job sitting at a desk. Because the landscapers will live to be 80, 90, and 100 years old, and those of us who are at their desk, we're going to be in an institution by the time we're 60.
You bet.
So, and interesting enough, to close this discussion, these are the most recent statistics, okay, from the CDC. Currently, there are close to 26 million children and adults that are already diagnosed with diabetes. Yeah. There are 7.1 million undiagnosed, and there were 79 million who are pre-diabetic that over the course of the next few years, they will step into the full-blown diabetes. This is a scary thought. We're looking at a major portion of the population that's going to suffer from heart disease. We know that insulin resistance is linked to so many neurological disorders. We know, I mean, it's scary. It's like there's this looming disaster. We're watching it. It's like a train wreck. We're watching the train heading for off the cliff, and there's nothing we're doing about it. We're not yelling and saying stop. It's just going to go off the cliff at some point in time. It's a scary idea.
I agree. I mean, as I said, there are a lot of things that we can do. I just told a while ago, and there are a lot of things that we can do to stop this becoming an epidemic thing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that people still are not taking this so seriously, and you still see a lot of kids going to McDonald's and eating the same things that they're not supposed to eat. So what can we do? I mean, this has to start at some place in the school. I think that's the best place where we can incorporate all these things.
Yeah, but the problem with the school is that they're following the American Dietetic Association's guidelines. They're telling children that they should be eating more grains, and the things that they're getting kids to eat are not very little protein, very little healthy fat. No, you know what? We cannot legislate health, because unfortunately, the powers that be out there, the special interest organizations who don't want change to come about because billions of dollars are at risk, they are influencing that. The way it happens is like this, Dr. Negaretti. You and I having a conversation and a couple million people getting the message and them telling their friends, this has to happen from the grassroots. We cannot depend from a top down. This has to be a bottom up change.
Well, I appreciate that you guys are taking this as a serious an issue and bringing it to common people. And I hope that more people will listen to a radio and get this to their mind.
I'm sure they will.
And I think that's the best way to spread the message.
That's the way it is, because every day we vote with our dollars. Dr. Negaretti, thanks for taking time to
Thank
be on
you.
The show today. Take care. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the blueprintbulletin.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Man, I've been training, getting stronger. I feel so good. As soon as this show is over, I've got a pound of very, very lean, grass-fed, grass-finished beef to eat and some spinach. I am trying to be as consistent as possible. I have not been drinking alcohol at all. No wine. Just consistency is going to be the key for me. Anyway, I want to thank Adele Moussa for Subversity Science Roundup. And, of course, Dr. Nagaretti for the discussion about heart disease and diabetes. Also want to remind you that tomorrow is Friday, and we'll have a great episode of Casual Friday. Lots of great stuff to rant about tomorrow. Stuff sent to us by listeners. We'll go over emails and comments that people made tomorrow. And I want to thank all of you for listening to the show. I can't say how important it is to me that those of you who listen to the show, like the show, get something out of it. The kind emails I get from many of you. But really, I would be nowhere, nothing. I would be talking to myself if it wasn't for you right now listening to the show. So I want to personally thank you. And we'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Thanks for listening. Es könnte alles so einfach sein. Ich gönne allen ihr Eigenheim.